This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1462. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded May 27th, the most barbarous suppression of the people. Monitoring North Korea, new frequencies from Germany and Netherlands. Unintentional frequencies from Spain and Manchester. QSLs from Syria, Ethiopia, Somaliland, Congo DR. CBC Yukon turning off AM, Mystery Russian on 1710, and the Propagation Outlook. Lest we forget, this historic broadcast 20 years ago from Radio Beijing.
This is Radio Beijing. Please remember June the 3rd, 1989. The most tragic event happened in the Chinese capital, Beijing. Thousands of people, most of them innocent civilians, were killed by fully armed soldiers when they forced their way into the city. Among the killed are our colleagues at Radio Beijing. The soldiers were riding on armored vehicles and used machine guns against thousands of local residents and students who tried to block their way. When the army convoys made a breakthrough, soldiers continued to spray their bullets indiscriminately at crowds in the street. Eyewitnesses say some armored vehicles even crushed foot soldiers who hesitated in front of the resisting civilians. Radio Beijing English Department deeply mourns those died in the tragic incident and appeals to all its listeners to join our protest for the gross violation of human rights and the most barbarous suppression of the people. Because of the abnormal situation here in Beijing, there is no other news we could bring you. We sincerely ask for your understanding and thank you for joining us at this most tragic moment.
That recording was made by Jack Urso and it appears in the Talking History Web Archive, The Lost Voice of Radio Beijing. The identity of this person is still open to question. However, Keith Perrone in Taiwan, who worked for CRI for a few years, has provided a lot of inside information about what goes on in Beijing. He said that this person is still in jail. In DX Listening Digest, further comments from Keith Perrone. A few times I asked people what was the name of the announcer. The reaction was swearing. All they did was change the subject and give a typical answer. One day I was looking for a tape of an old cooking show once done at CRI by Stuart Parkins. I found a row of tapes from 1989. Strangely, tapes and program logs from the last week of May all the way to July were missing. I'm sure that somewhere in Beijing those tapes exist, but it won't be until things change that they surface. During this period, many people at CRI were turned into authorities for support of the students. There's a satellite TV station, Phoenix TV, based in Guangzhou, but headquartered in Beijing. The founder of Phoenix, Liu Zhangle, who is also the CEO, was a news editor for what was then known as Radio Beijing, after he was turned into authorities for his part in that broadcast, which was allowing the newsreader to go on the air with it. He spent 4 years in jail. But because of his connections within the Communist Party, he only had to serve his sentence at a government retraining camp. Dr. Zhang Yangyong, who exposed the SARS cover-up in 2003, also wrote a letter to the CPC to re-examine events surrounding June 3rd. His niece, who works at CRI, Chui Hong, told me in 2004 that her uncle and his wife went missing, but then 2 weeks later were released by Chinese authorities. But since that time, his passport was taken away, and his home in western Beijing is heavily watched. Anyone who looks foreign is turned away at a gate by Beijing Public Security Police. The only thing protecting him from going to jail is the fact he is a high-ranking Communist Party member with many friends in the party. One thing about Chui Hong, which people outside China don't know, is that her mother, Wei Lin, was CRI's first English announcer. She worked at Radio Peking and Radio Beijing from 1947 until she retired in 1983. In recent issues of DX Listening Digest, we've had a lot more comments by Keith Perron about what goes on at CRI and Radio Beijing. As we've mentioned, jamming has been stepped up the last few weeks because of the approaching 20th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre. As for jamming, Keith Perron says this, the jamming control has two main centers. The first is the main site on Hainan Island in the south, which also houses a large military base. But all orders for jamming come from Beijing. Three ministries are involved, the Ministry of Communications, the Ministry of Culture and Propaganda, and the Ministry of the Armed Forces of the PLA. The latter is due to the fact that the military control all transmitter sites in China, even those used for civilian use. The two stations involved for both monitoring stations the government deems unfriendly and to monitor if the jamming is effective are China National Radio near Tiananmen Square, which was also once the home of CRI until the mid-90s, and CRI on Shijiangshan Road in western Beijing on the third floor, less than 20 meters from the live broadcast studios, guarded by the military 24/7. The only way to get past the guard to the live studio or master control is by holding an A pass. There are 20 sites, at least around China, known for jamming. The problem is trying to make a 100% confirmation, as the sites are also used for broadcasting. He says the only two I can 100% confirm are the one on Hainan Island and one in Shunyi, a suburb of Beijing, which is used for ground wave jamming. Other sites known for jamming are Hohhot in Inner Mongolia, Ningbo between Huangzhou and Shanghai, Guangzhou across from Hong Kong, and Dandong on the China-North Korea border. Among the unusual out-of-band frequencies I've been hearing the past week for the All Music Firedrake jamming are 18320, sometimes reaching here even in the middle of the night around 0600, 14420, as well as some more familiar ones on 13970, 11300, and 9390. Most of these, or all of these, are known to be frequencies used by Sound of Hope, the Falun Gong clandestine. You may recall that last year Radio Taiwan International cut off some of its relays via WYFR, which give it a very good signal into North America, but from June 15th they are resuming some relays. As announced on their website, seen by Salahuddin Dolar in Bangladesh and by Alokesh Gupta in India, namely, from June 15th they'll be adding 02 to 03 UT on 9680 to the Midwest, at a new time they didn't use before, 05 to 06 UT on 5950 for the West Coast. With North Korea exploding bombs and launching missiles, interest has revived in monitoring the Voice of Korea. Alan First in Texas asked for some advice about the best times and frequencies. When I usually hear it, the English hours are at 13 and 15 UT on 9335 and 11710. But reception varies widely from one day to the next. Alan then tuned in one of those on 11710. He says they could use better audio processing. It was a little muddy. The writing was right out of Orwell's 1984, war is peace type of thinking. Even when we complain about our own government, we can say whatever we want. Listening to the content from North Korea is pretty amazing. I love my Wi-Fi radio, but shortwave is still the best way to hear stuff. Mark Fay in New South Wales might disagree, since he is an experienced TV satellite monitor. And he has a tip for us. North Korea cannot usually be viewed in eastern Australia or the Pacific USA. However, at the moment, May 26th, one of the CNN raw feeds on Intelsat 8 is carrying a relay of Korean Central TV. The feed channel CNN is using often relays broadcasters 24/7 from Asian hotspots back to Atlanta. It may be up for a few days, unless other breaking news develops in Asia that takes precedence over the North Korean story. And then he goes on to give details. Apparently, it is not easy to tune in unless you know what you're doing. Anyhow, it's on 3812 megahertz horizontal, 14109. Look for the feed circuit labeled CNN Hong Kong 179. North Korean TV is only running 6 hours each evening, usually opening at 0800 UT, but sometimes as early as 0600. Ron Howard in California wonders if North Korean jamming facilities are being stretched thin. On May 14th, he noted the Echo of Hope on 6003, free from the usual jamming, which is a rapid pulsating noise. It's rare to hear this in the clear. It also helped reception of China's Tibetan service on 6010. Instead, the same nonstop rapid pulsating noise jamming was on 5910 from 1354 past 1501 to Jamshokaze, which is only a half hour at 1400. That date was in Japanese. This also adversely affected Myanmar on 5915, but on May 15th it was just the opposite. Shokaze in English was in the clear, and Echo of Hope on 6003 was jammed again, as it usually is. So, does North Korea not have enough jammers to cover both stations on the same day? A couple of days earlier, on May 13th, Brock Whaley in Hawaii was monitoring the South Korean clandestines to the north and checking out the jamming on them. Radio Echo of Hope on 6003 under a pulsing jammer, 3985 just a white noise jammer, and 6348 a pulsing jammer at 1340 UT, while Voice of the People was atop a pulsing jammer on 6518, 6600 was under a jammer, and 3912 just had a white noise jammer audible. IBB and Deutsche Welle relays in Sri Lanka are easy to hear, although it may be hard to find out which they are unless you have the appropriate reference material. But it's more interesting to listen to the Sri Lanka Broadcasting Corporation itself, and here are some reports of it during the last few days. 15745.012 reported by David Sharp in New South Wales at 0120 UT in English with a request and dedication show. News at 0200. 11905, another SLBC frequency reported by Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania in Hindi with vocal and subcontinental music at 0115 to 135 May 16th and parallel to 7190. Also heard by Terry L. Kruger on both frequencies. He's in Florida, signing on at midnight 18 UT May 16th with a 1000 cycle tone. And another report of 11905. Thanks to Kruger's tip by Scott Barber in New Hampshire, also signing on at midnight 20, May 14th, with announcements in English and also in Hindi. I found a big 20 over S9 signal on 12085, May 19th at 2133. But there was hum on it, and the modulation was just barely audible, Mideast vocal music. But that had to be Radio Damascus, Syria, as scheduled during this hour in English, with its usual modulation problems. I looked for a parallel on 9330, but that was blocked by extreme spurious radiation from RCI. Brian Alexander, Pennsylvania, also heard Damascus on 12085, May 16th, during the English hour at 2125. He heard a news summary at 2157, into Spanish at 2200, and also audible slightly worse on 9330. In Celluromai's panorama column for Actividade de Xix, this report from José Moacir Portela Gimelo in Mato Grosso, Brazil, who says, after listening for 20 years and sending various reception reports, I finally received a QSL card from Radio Damascus. Some identified person in the station even sent a greeting to another listener in another town in Mato Grosso, near the location of the person who reported this. Francophile Mike Cooper in Georgia keeps us up to date on the labor situation at Radio France International. Their own website reported on May 24th, the strike is not an all-out stoppage of all staff, but broadcasts have been disrupted in most languages, thanks to tactical striking by technical staff or journalists. Unions threaten to prolong the action next week if no progress is made on their demands. And on May 25th, Mike followed up, workers at RFI voted again today to continue their strike, and they were going to meet again the next day. It seems they do this just about every day. He also reported on May 26th that RFI workers voted again to continue the strike, according to a statement issued by labor unions, with yet another meeting scheduled for late on Wednesday. This is World of Radio, 1462. Your contributions always welcome to WORADIO at yahoo.com or P.O. Box 1684, ENIDOK, 73702, USA. Check our website for much more information, worldofradio.org. If you're interested in DX expeditions to exotic islands, we have a couple of reports in issue number 9043. Rafael Rodriguez visited San Andres Island, and Robertas Pogorelis reports on his medium wave DX from Guadeloupe. DX Mix News in Bulgaria rounds up frequency changes for Deutsche Welle, and here are the ones recently concerning English. At 04 to 05:30, 6180 via Portugal replaces 7430. And at 05 to 5:30, 7430 via Rampisham, UK replaces 9440. At 19 to 19:30, 13650 Sri Lanka replaces 15620. And at 20 to 21, again 13650 Sri Lanka replaces 15205. Remember Radio Denmark, one of our favorite stations of yesteryear? They broadcast in English. And then they cut off that and finally cut off shortwave broadcasts altogether, even in their own language. There weren't very many stations which broadcast in a rather small language, Danish, anyway, but we were wondering if there were any at all left on shortwave. One possibility seemed to be Vatican Radio, which has a morning and evening broadcasts which they say are in Scandinavian languages. Should that include Danish? You would think so. However, Christer Brunström in Sweden explains that there are no broadcasts in Danish on Vatican Radio. That is, no regular programs, but they have many listeners in Denmark who listen to the Swedish broadcasts. These two transmissions also include Swedish, Finnish, Estonian, and Norwegian, especially on Mondays. If you really want to hear Danish on shortwave, the only possibility is Greenland on 3815, as has been monitored by Anker Petersen in Denmark. The Spanish service of Radio Netherlands got so many complaints from the Southern Cone about cutting off shortwave to that part of the world that they've decided to resume it. However, only 1 hour a day instead of the previous 3 hours. I happened to hear Alfonso Montealegre and Jaime Wagner interviewed on Spain's DX program about this, discussing the resumption. But they didn't mention the frequency that I heard, but we do have the details thanks to a letter from Jaime Wagner to Ruben Guillermo Marchinet. It's at 23 UT on 9495 via French Guiana starting June 1st. Last week we had a schedule for Radio Budapest broadcast via Germany and wondered if the transmitter at Jászberény, Hungary, had finally been closed down. Well, Kai Ludwig in Germany, who has a very keen ear for detecting the details of transmissions due to their audio signatures, says, I checked 3975 and it is still Jászberény in Hungary, obviously from the Bassy audio and classical dynamic processing. The Vertaktl entries appeared at the start of the season, but there's been no further information. Perhaps these are standing by to replace the Hungarian site at any moment. at the end of the program at 2158 UT. They played the old Radio Budapest identifier, the voice of Franziska Szymon, and all the other staff members they had presumably fired. Brock Whaley on Oahu says AFN is operating their USB relay in Hawaii 24 hours now on only one frequency, 10320. But it's not the only broadcaster on that frequency. Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal heard REE in Spain on that, May 21st at 2110 in Castilian. But it's a mixing product, 17595 in Portuguese to Brazil, minus Castilian to Europe on 7275 equals 10320. Someone recently complained that Spain's mailbag show in Spanish ignores everyone but Cubans. Could this be? Well, I listened to their mailbag at 0530 UT Saturday, May 23rd, which is on 6055, and by golly, they're right. Every single call to a listener I heard during the semi-hour was to someone in Cuba, and they all wanted pen pals to their postal addresses. I wonder why. Perhaps REE feels obligated to help out their poor listeners in this benighted country, otherwise cut off from contact with the real world. But Radio Havana itself also has a pen pal show called Amigos de Cuba, Sundays after 1300 on all its frequencies, including 12,000 kilohertz. Brandon Jordan in Tennessee says he got a verification, or a reply at least, from Amhara State Radio in Bahir Dar, Ethiopia, on 6090. A friendly email with verification statement from the station director in less than 24 hours for his April 24th reception when the Caribbean Beacon was silent. The person replying is Dereja Mojesh, and his email address is dereradio2000@yahoo.com. Thanks to Bjorn Fransson in Sweden for reporting the email address. Bjorn Fransson also reports getting a QSO card from Radio Hargeisa Somaliland via their German address. By the way, they changed the frequency printed from 7122 to 7145, where it's currently being heard, and they changed the power from 10 kilowatts to 100 with a T antenna. That might explain why it's getting out well, at least in the Eastern Hemisphere. Sign on at 1500 UT. I suppose that may be too early for Europeans to hear it now in the summer. But in Japan, Koji Hashimoto heard Radio Hargeisa signing on at 1502, May 7th, on 7145.04. They may not be on that frequency too much longer. By the way, David Sharp in Australia measured it on 7145.720 at 1735 with a very good signal. The intruder watchers in Germany, headed by Uli Bielmeier, have been in contact with the representative of Radio Hargeisa in Germany, trying to get them out of the ham band 7145, so perhaps they will agree to change frequency to somewhere in the 7500 range where they have been before. David Sharp in New South Wales also reports fair reception from the rare Ugandan missionary station Dinamis Shortwave on exactly 4750, May 23rd until sign-off at 1700 UT. He also reports Radio Kahuzi in the Congo DR, another missionary station around 1720 UT, May 22nd, measured on 6209.989 variable, and got an email verification from them as well. It turns out at that time they were playing back a relay of VOA's Swahili service, and the operator said if they get around to it, they'll turn on the shortwave transmitter as often as possible between 1630 and 2005 UT. Carlos Gonçalves says the frequency reported for Angola last week was incorrect. It's really on 4949.7. In the Radio Escutas group, George Cunha in Brazil reports that Rádio Inconfidência in Belo Horizonte is active again on 6010. They've had transmitter problems, only 5 kilowatts, but they hope to get it back up to 25 by the end of May. And furthermore, there are plans to reactivate their 19-meter band frequency 15190. in less than 1 year, but they'd better watch out for Radio Africa Equatorial Guinea. Bob Buchner in Florida has been submitting tropical band scans. Here's one item of particular interest. Radio Rasu Vilca, that new Peruvian on 4805, was heard May 12th at 1000, but most of the time the frequency is occupied by Radiodifusora do Amazonas in Brazil around that same time, and he doubts if Peru is on the air every day. Dean McIntyre and Ricky Leong forward news from the CRTC that the CBC has applied to close down its AM station in Whitehorse, Yukon, CFWH 570, and replace it with FM on 94.5. That's a trend, of course, going on throughout Canada. But you'd think in the wide open spaces of the Yukon, it would be valuable to keep a medium wave frequency on the air to reach remote areas and sparsely populated areas. They should even increase power, I think, maybe to 50 kilowatts. It's still rarely heard, even by those in the Pacific Northeast. However, Andy Reid says that the lease is up on their AM site. They must vacate it at the end of September. So that's one reason just for switching to FM. Another CRTC application via Ricky Leong and Dean McIntyre concerns CJWI 1610 in Montreal, which wants to leave that frequency because of all the interference from Toronto and move to 1410 kilohertz and increase power from 1 kilowatt to 10. Jeff White says WRMI has a new client requiring suspension of some DX program times, Monday through Friday at 1430, Saturday at 2000 and 1, affecting World of Radio, Sunday at 1515. We're off the air for at least 3 weeks, perhaps longer in that time slot. Keith Perron says he has a special Happy Station tribute to DXers airing June 4th on WRMI 9955 and repeated on the 11th, or at least three of those broadcasts at 0100 and 1500. He's been interviewing a number of names you know. An unexpected bonus of tuning far out of band looking for firedrakes is encountering things like this. The second harmonic of WWRB in Tennessee on 18770, May 21st at 1345. It's probably there all the time, but we normally don't hear it except for a strong sporadic E opening on HF. And I heard it again on May 23rd at 1327. We're sad to hear of the death of Michael Ketter, formerly with WBCQ, on May 17th. The age of 48. He had been in a coma for over 3 years following a brain injury. Quite a nice obituary for him appeared in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette of May 24th. Don Jensen reports to the NASA group that the crystal ship has returned. He got an email from John Poet. It was heard at 0230 UT May 26th on 6876. Medium wave DXers in Washington State and vicinity have been trying to locate a Russian-speaking pirate on 1710 kilohertz. Weak signals heard day and night seeming to come from a Protestant church. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued May 26th. ANK NSE's peaking at 10 and 4 June 4th. Solar flux peaking at 72 June 7th to 14th. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio, 1462.